Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, if you are new to our community or wondering how to get connected, next Sunday we are having Growth Track right after our 9:30 service. This is the place where you're going to learn more about who we are. We can learn more about who you are and how you can connect into this community. If you have not gone through Growth Track, I really encourage you. You can sign up today before you leave at the Connect station right out there in the foyer. I encourage you, sign up, come to Growth Track next week. And let's get started together creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. Amen? Amen? Come on, I don't know if anybody told you, but you don't just look good on Easter. You look good the Sunday after Easter, too. Y'all are looking so good. Hey, here at North Point, we have declared that 2023 is our year of
legacy.
That's right, our year of legacy. And our motto this year is live the legacy that you want to leave. Live the legacy that you want to leave, because we will all leave a legacy, but we will never leave anything greater than we lived. And so really with this motto, with this theme this year, because we think that legacy is out there, but here's what I can tell you about legacy: today matters. Today matters. Today matters because it is the life that we are choosing to live today that creates the legacy we will leave one day. Today really matters. And we kind of came into this year with this idea or this question of what matters most. What matters most? And, you know, I was listening to a podcast, and they were doing some research, and they were interviewing people that were at the end of life, and they were kind of looking back on the top regrets of life, and they were talking through it. And as they were talking, I thought, wow, you know, the way that we, because nothing that they said was like surprising. Nothing they said was like, oh my God, I've never thought that that would be important. I never thought that, but here's the thing, we just get distracted in life. And as I was listening to them talk about the regrets at the end, I realized they just weren't living what matters most during the days. During their days, they just weren't living what matters most. They were distracted. They were detoured. They were all these things, but they just weren't answering. So if we want to leave the legacy, right, that we really want to leave in the end, it requires us to ask ourselves, okay, well, what matters most today? And when we answer that question and we start living according to that question, I promise you one thing, whenever we get to the end and we leave a legacy, it will be a legacy that we are proud of. It will be a legacy that we want to live. And so as we go through this year of legacy, I don't want you to think, oh, okay, legacy's way out there. No, 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 friends, legacy is today. Today matters. And right now we are in a series of sermons on Sunday entitled Faith Makes It Possible. And this year we are really zooming in on this chapter in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11, and we call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. It's where all of the heroes of the Old Testament, many of the heroes of the Old Testament, are listed. And as it starts to tell their story, every story starts in Hebrews 11 with this: by faith. By faith, Noah, and by faith, Abraham, and by faith, all of these men and women of God, by faith. And right there in Hebrews chapter 11, we also see verse 6 that says this. It says, and without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible.
Impossible.
Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I think right there, we don't need to have any more discussion. Right there, we would say what? Faith must be important. It is impossible to please God without it. Now, last week was Easter Sunday, and it was an awesome, awesome Sunday. We were over 1,000 people on campus on Easter. We had so many people make decisions to follow Jesus and get connected here. Man, it was just an absolutely awesome, awesome Sunday. And you know, Easter weekend, it's just that moment on the calendar that we set aside to remember and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that's not the only time that you remember and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection. That is not just restricted to Easter, but it is the time that we set aside on the calendar to remember God's rescue plan for humanity, God's redemption plan for humanity, that through Jesus's sacrifice and resurrection, we find hope, we find forgiveness, and we find new life. And we really can't talk about that enough. That's not just a one Sunday a year kind of thing. And last Sunday, on Easter Sunday, we looked in Ephesians, and we said this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, this is what he writes. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So I want you to say it again. Say, by grace.
By grace.
Say, through faith.
Through faith.
Okay, so this is how salvation happens. Salvation is made available to us by God's grace. There is nothing that you could do to work for salvation, pray your way into salvation. God made salvation available. But it is faith that makes our salvation possible. Because without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot enter into relationship with Him. So it is our faith that actually makes this salvation possible. And that's what we talked about last week on Easter Sunday. And today, we are going to roll in and talk about how faith makes transformation possible. How faith makes transformation possible. And after this, we're going to go into next week and we're going to talk about how faith makes legacy possible. Because see, I don't want to just be transformed for myself. I want the transformation in me to be passed on so that it creates a legacy of transformation. And so that's what we're going to be talking about next week, about how it takes faith to make a legacy possible. But here's my goal today. I have two goals today as we talk through this idea that faith makes transformation possible. The first is this. The first is in the beginning of our message today, I want to provide you with some powerful inspiration. I want to give you some big thoughts and get you moving towards this idea that not only can I be transformed, I want to be transformed. And then after the powerful inspiration, I'm going to lead you into some practical instruction. And I'm going to give you some how-tos, some things that will help you transform and some things that will hinder you in your transformation process. But I want to start here, coming off of Easter Sunday, I want to start with this statement. And that is this, that Jesus didn't defeat death to sit back and watch life defeat you. Last week, we were in here celebrating and singing and shouting, it's Resurrection Sunday. Listen, Jesus did not get up out of the grave and defeat death so that he could watch life defeat you. No. That is not the purpose of Jesus getting up out of the grave. And so sometimes what happens is we think, oh, Jesus got up out of the grave just so one day I could get into heaven. No. We don't want to sell it that short. Okay? Salvation is the starting line with God, not the finish line. God's not up in heaven saying, oh, good, wow, they're saved. They said the prayer. Okay, we're done here. Let's move on. No,
no.
God rescues us. He rescues us, and then he begins to renew us. As he begins to renew us, he starts to redirect us. As he redirects us, he releases us into our purpose on the earth. And that's what this whole thing is all about. Did we need to be rescued? Absolutely. But God's not stopping at you being rescued and redeemed and heaven bound. No, he wants to renew you. That's why Jesus said you have to be born again. You have to be renewed from the inside out so that your life can have this new direction so that you can be released into what God created you for. Because last week we were right there in Ephesians. Right, and we said it's by grace through faith. But I want to take you to the very next verse. That was verse 8 and 9 that we've been reading. But I want to take you into verse 10 because it's very interesting that the Apostle Paul attaches this right after that. So he basically gives us the picture of salvation. He moves into verse 10. He says this, for we are God's masterpiece. Come on, tell your neighbor right now, say, you're God's masterpiece. Come on, you're God's masterpiece. Come on, God didn't mess up on you. You are God's masterpiece. You are not a six-year-old drawing, right? You are God's masterpiece. Okay, I've got a lot of six-year-old drawings in my house. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So he starts, he says, hey, you are saved by grace through faith. Salvation, when you believe, you are saved. But then he moves so quickly into, you are God's masterpiece. And you are created brand new. You are given new life for the purpose of you doing the good works he planned for you long ago. So as we read this, what do we see? We see that God saves us with the intention of sending us. That he saves us with the intention of sending us. God has already planned and prepared the good works. They are there and they are waiting. What are they waiting on? They're waiting on us. The good works have already been prepared. They are there and they are simply waiting on us. And this is where transformation comes into play. The good works are prepared for you. But you must go through the process of preparing yourself for the good work. The good works are already there. It is God came and he rescued you and he redeemed you and he saved you because he's ready to send you into a good work that is already there for you. And so the question is not, did God make a way for me to be saved? And the question is not, does God have something prepared for me in the future? The question is will I let God prepare me for what he prepared for me? And we see this in the gospel, right? We see this, and it's in the story of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, the scripture says this, after John, this is talking about John the Baptist, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. So along the same lines that we were just talking, look, Jesus shows up, and he shows up with a message, and he says this, he says, repent, okay? Repent and believe. Change the way that you think. Begin to allow God to change the direction of your life. Repent, he says, repent and be sent. Repent and be sent. But notice there's something that has to happen in the middle. He says, repent. I want to send you out to fish for people, but in the middle, you got to come follow me. You got to come follow me. You have to learn what it is to be my disciple. You need to learn how I think. You need to learn how I respond. You need to learn how I act. You need to learn how I feel. You need to learn my way of life. You need to watch me and you need to become like me. I came so that you could repent and come into relationship with God. I came so that you could be sent. But right here in the middle, you have to be transformed. I want to be very, very clear with you today, and that is that Christianity is not behavior modification, it is complete life transformation. This is not a behavior modification program, this is a life transformation process. And it is transformation with an ultimate purpose. I would say this to you today, that we are transformed to bring transformation. I might even say it to you this way, that we are being transformed to bring transformation, because we will never arrive at the end of our transformation journey until you step from this life into the next life. I hope we are all still in the process of being transformed, but you need to know there's a purpose to us being transformed, and that is to bring transformation. Now, I have to let you in on a little secret in my life, and that is, for me, this principle right here, this what you read on the screen, this was and still is the hook for me, if you would. Because if following Jesus was just about me having a better attitude, if it was just about me not getting angry as much, if following Jesus was just about me being a little bit happier, having a little bit more peace, if it was about me just not sinning as much as I used to, then I would not be who I am today or where I am today. Because being good for goodness sake doesn't really interest me. And it wouldn't be enough to walk the transformation journey. But when I was a teenager, I read Jesus say, "I will send you out to fish for people." And I read the Apostle Paul say, we can do the good work that he prepared for us long ago. And I said, you know what? I'm down for that. I'm not down for behavior modification. I'm not down just to be a little bit of a better me. No. But if I can fish for people, and if I can step into the good works that an awesome God prepared for me long ago, I will enter any transformation process. I will let go of whatever I have to let go. I will walk away from any net. I will walk away from any friend. I will leave whatever I have to leave back here if I can be a part of something like that out there. But sometimes we move into Christianity, we think, oh, this is behavior modification. I got to get my life all cleaned up, and I got to smile a little more. I just got to stop sinning so much, right? And here's what happens is we lose sight of the sending, and we just start focusing on our sinning. And oh man, we just got so much. I got so much I got to work on. And then let me tell you what, if you get focused on that, you're just going to get overwhelmed and quit. But when I was a teenager, I got so consumed with the sending that I said, hey, if I can be a part of this, God, change whatever you need to change. Confront whatever, because I want to be one of those people that is out there in the world making a difference. I want to be a person of impact and influence. I want to be a part of bringing heaven to earth. God, that's what I want. And I realized, oh, if you want that, then in between repent and be sent, there is this process of transformation. Becoming a disciple of Jesus. I'm going to give some people a spoiler alert. If you ain't been around here for very long, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. The end goal of deciding to follow Jesus isn't you avoiding sin, it's you advancing the kingdom.
Come on, coach.
It's not just avoiding sin. Oh, I'm just going to avoid sin. Look, when God called you, he didn't say, I want you to avoid much sin as possible. No, when he called the disciples with a mission. And when the mission begins to consume you, guess what? It will cause you to avoid sin. Because the mission is so important. The mission is so vital. And I can tell you, I mean, I've had all kinds of problems in my life. And I could take you all the way back to when I was 18, 19, 20, preaching in college. I was preaching all kinds of heresy. I mean, I was preaching all kinds of stuff. I didn't know what I was doing. But listen, I just wanted to bring people along this journey. And we were baptizing people. I didn't know, man, I was just doing everything I possibly could because I was consumed with the mission. And as I focused on the sending, guess what began to happen? I began to deal with my sinning. Because I was so focused on the sending. God, I want to be a part of this crew that's going out. It's advancing the kingdom. Christianity is not about you avoiding sin, it's about you advancing the kingdom. God's given each and every one of you. Say, well, Philip, I'm not going to sing on that stage. I'm not going to pray. Philip, you telling me I got to be a preacher? I got to be. No. No, that's not what I'm telling you at all. You know, as a matter of fact, some of us, we're glad you're not preaching, okay? I'm just going to say, we're super happy about that. A I'm so glad Destiny's not here today. I'd be in trouble. Is she watching? Yeah, she's texting me right now. Now I'm so scared I forgot what I said. But sometimes we get so enamored with this idea of like stopping sinning that we don't start advancing. I just get so consumed that I gotta stop all this sin and I lose. Listen, it is you starting to advance the kingdom that will motivate you to stop the sinning. I'm just telling you that when Jesus came, Jesus was obviously, he was a master communicator, right? He understood the way that we're wired. He understood how to get on the inside. And when he called these guys, what did he call them with? A mission that was so big, a mission that was so great. He said, if you follow me, I will let you fish for people. I will let you be impact. If you follow me, it's not about you just stopping being as bad as you used to be. It's about you becoming somebody that I can use in greater measure in the future. It's not about you just getting better. It's about you shining brighter. Look, Jesus said, you're the light of the world, right? We were meant to shine into the world. We were meant to impact those around us. Oh yeah, that's what I was talking about. You're not gonna stand on the platform and pray. You don't have to do that. But you know what you can do? You can shine the light of God and shine the light of hope and shine the light of peace and shine the light of strength. You can shine your light in your cubicle. You can shine your light at your family reunion. You can shine your light when you walk into Nukes for lunch. You can shine your light wherever it is that you go. You can shine your light. But here's the reality. That's what God's called us to do, being sent and shining, right? But man, I gotta have something to shine. I gotta have something to shine because but from going over here to repent and being sent, right? I gotta have something to shine. I gotta have something to shine. Now we could all say, well, yeah, but you're shining Jesus. Yeah, okay, so you starting with a little something, but how many of you know whenever you kind of start working some things out, now I got a little more to shine. And that's the process of being transformed. And as Christ followers, we are committed to being transformed, and our commitment to being transformed comes from us being consumed with bringing transformation. This is why we commit to the process. But because, let me just stop and say, like, there's nothing just simple and easy about being transformed. Walking away from old habits is hard. Changing the way that you've always thought about life and people is challenging. Stopping doing things that you've been doing for decades does not just happen overnight most of the time for most people. It is difficult, but I am committed to that process. Why? Because I am consumed by this mission. I am committed to my personal transformation because I am consumed with being a part of God's transformation in the world. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Apostle Paul writes this, and he says, hey, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Somebody say that's hard. Yeah, it is. Thank you for being honest today. Changing the way you think is hard. How many of you still find yourself saying things that your mom and dad said like 30, 40 years ago? Right? You still say it. And like, you know, you don't even believe it, but you still say it, right? Because why? Changing the way that we think, it's so very hard. So what he's saying here, it's not easy. But he says, but listen, God will transform your life as we begin to let him change the way that we think about life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writing, he says, hey, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is being corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. He says, so listen, since you've heard, okay, since you have information about who Jesus is and the good news that comes with him, he says, because you've heard that, now here's what you do. You throw off that old nature and that former way of life. It's being corrupted, so we want to get rid of that. He says, instead, let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God in you, let him renew your thoughts. Let him give you new thoughts, right? Let him give you new attitudes, a new way of being, a new disposition, right? Let him give you something brand new, and then you can put on your new nature created to be like God. That's why I say it's not behavior modification, because Christianity is not trying to make you a little bit better. It's life transformation, because Christianity is about you becoming like God. Yeah, how many of you know it's not just going to be a little behavior modification and we're going to get that, right? This is complete and total life transformation. So he says you got to put on this new nature so that you can become like Christ, so that you can become like God, holy and righteous. You see, on our way to transformation, this is typically the flow of transformation. It comes with information. That information takes us to a place of revelation. That revelation needs some maturation, and then we arrive at this place of transformation. So we get some information. That's literally what we just read in Ephesians. He said, you have heard the truth about Jesus. All right, once you've heard the truth about the good news, that God loves you, that he cares for you, that he wants to help you, wants to be with you, he's forgiven all of your sins, he's given you a purpose and a mission and a destiny. He's done all, okay, I get this information. Now it becomes revelation. Revelation is when I can say all those things. I mean, no, you can just hear, you know, maybe you sat through history class, right? You got a lot of information, but there was no revelation. I mean, you heard what the teacher was saying, but it wasn't no revelation. What no? How many of you said in algebra? You got information, right? X and Y and, the dividend, everything. You got the information, but there was no revelation. The test proved it, right? The test proved it. There was no revelation. But here's the thing. We get information, and that information has to turn into revelation. It's where it comes alive, right? I love my father-in-law, Denny Duran. He tells a story about what's the difference between information and revelation. He said the information is when he was starting his very first high school football game, and the coach told him, son, these guys are going to hit hard. And he said, okay. He said, that was information. He said, I got under the center. Said the snap count down, said, dropped back to pass. He said, that middle linebacker came blitzing. He said, I threw that pass, and that guy hit me right underneath my chin. He said, that was revelation. See, it's when the light bulb comes on and you realize, God doesn't just love the world. God loves me. Oh, God doesn't just have a plan for Pastor Philip and Destiny. God has a plan for me. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. You telling me God didn't just create good works for the missionaries and the evangelists and the power? Oh, wait, you telling me God created a good work for me in my insurance industry? God created a good work for me in my teeth. You telling me God created a good work for me in my, yeah, that's when information starts to turn into revelation. That's right. Now that revelation, it's got to go through some maturation, right? It's got to go through some maturation. It's got to go through some maturity. It's got to go through a discipleship process. That we define discipleship around here as our process to progress. It's our process to becoming fruitful, right? And so it's got to go through some maturation. And out of that maturation process, guess what? Now we get into transformation. Now we are being transformed so that we can bring transformation into our world. Now before you get all overwhelmed with this and start thinking, Oh God, I got a lot of things that need to be transformed in this process so that I can bring transformation. I mean, this is good, but I got a lot of stuff. I mean, my light's not what I need it to be right now. Listen, before you get overwhelmed, let's remember where we started this message. Faith makes transformation possible. This ain't willpower. This is us tapping into his power. Faith makes transformation possible. Because if you want to do it strictly on your own, guess what you have? Behavior modification. But if you want to invite God into the process and you invite his spirit into, which is the way that he intended it to be anyway, that's why Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, and he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit's job to begin to produce this fruit in you. What does this fruit look like? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you would like a little bit of that, say amen.
Amen.
It's the Holy Spirit's job. But it is our job to allow the Holy Spirit to do it. Because the Holy Spirit ain't going to produce anything that you are white-knuckling and hanging on to. If you want to hang on to your anger and your hate, go ahead. You can hang on to it. Holy Spirit ain't going to produce anything in that. But you know, if you're willing to say, you know what, Holy Spirit, I recognize this hate in my heart. I recognize this resentment. I recognize this anger. I recognize these things. And I'm going to loose my grip. And Holy Spirit, if you'll help me, if you'll help me, I want you to transform me, but I'm going to need some help. Listen, it doesn't matter how dysfunctional you feel your life is. Your dysfunction is no match for the Holy Spirit. I'm just telling you right now, it's no match. This is why Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, so you would know your anger problem ain't too much for him. But here's the thing: we got to be willing to go. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm bringing you in. I'm bringing you in to begin to produce this kind of life in me. This is the beautiful thing. At salvation, guess what? You receive his spirit. That's what happens. I mean, you read the Bible, right? At salvation, the moment that I say, God, I need you. I invite you into my life. This is what the Bible says. His spirit comes in and begins to take residence on the inside of you. What transformation is you allowing his spirit to begin to shape your soul. Because your soul is your mind. We are three. We are body, soul, and spirit. And your spirit comes alive with the Holy Spirit. It is renewed. It is alive. Your spirit is alive. But your soul is still you. It is your mind, your way of thinking. It is your emotions, all of your feelings. And it is your will. And so salvation, we inherit the Spirit of God. But transformation is us getting our soul in alignment with his spirit. That's how we experience transformation. And as we walk through that transformation process ourselves of being transformed, now we get to move into what God put us on this earth to do, and that's to be an agent of transformation in the world. All right, so let me just give you three things real quick. We're going to wrap up now. Three things that will help you transform. Three things that will help your transformation. I'm going to give you three quick things that will hinder your transformation. Number one, the first thing that will help your transformation is prayer. Prayer. Now you say, oh, I mean, that's like seems pretty obvious. Let me just tell you what prayer does. One thing is that prayer connects you with God. It connects you with the source. Prayer connects you to the source of strength, the source of peace, the source of joy, the source of actually whatever it is that you need. That's why God goes by the name of I am, because I am whatever you need. And prayer connects us with God. But do you know what also prayer does? Prayer connects you with yourself. Because listen, you can go all day long and never really connect with yourself. Walking around, scrolling, swiping, checking, liking, right? Driven by your to-do list. You got five kids. Daddy, 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 right? I mean, I'm telling you right now, like there are so many things to just be distracted all day long. But you know what prayer does? Prayer gets you quiet by yourself. And when you are quiet by yourself, you get to connect with yourself. And you get to connect with your motives that aren't always good. And you get to connect with your deepest fears You get to think about how you talked to your daughter yesterday and how that probably wasn't the way that it should have happened. You get to confront yourself in prayer. It's a beautiful thing because in prayer we start to come in contact with some of these things, right? That really do need to change. They need to be transformed. And this is why prayer is such a vital part, because I'm connecting with God, who is the source of hope that things can change. And then I'm also connecting with myself, so I'm becoming aware of things that actually do need to change. But you know what else that happens in prayer? I get to connect with my faith. I get to connect with my faith, and I get to remind myself in what I'm hoping for. I get to pray and say, you know what? It might have been that way yesterday in that conversation, but it's not going to be that way tomorrow. I've got hope for change and hope for transformation. And that might be the way that it was last week, but that's not going to be the way it is because I've got hope for change. And I get to connect with my faith, and it is faith that's making transformation possible. So I'm connecting with the God of the universe. I'm connecting with myself, but then I'm connecting in this faith that connects us together, going, I believe there's hope in you, because there's hope in you. You can do something in me to change how I am. Prayer. Prayer. It's not just like, now I lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord my soul. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about connecting with God, real, authentic, genuine connection. You don't have to pray in King James English, by the way. You don't have to pray with all of the right words. I say this every time I talk about prayer, because people get intimidated by prayer, because the people typically that you hear pray on a stage, they've been praying for a long time. Right? I mean, we don't let people that just started praying get up here and pray in front of you, okay? We don't practice up here, okay? But here's the problem. You hear people pray. I'm 45 years old. I started praying when I was 16. I've been praying almost 30 years of my life, and you hear me praying, oh man, no. Your prayer start with just genuine communication with God. Listen, if you cuss every now and then in your prayer, God's not going to kick you out the family, okay? I mean, you just show up and you just be who you are. God will work with you. God will work with you. Connect with God. Connect with yourself. Connect with your faith. Somebody just got blessed by that cussing thing. That's, heaven is still possible for me. All right, here's number two. The thing that will help you with your transformation is not just prayer, but people. People. God didn't intend for you to go on this journey alone. We need each other. This is why we say every week, we say our mission statement, right? Creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. Community. Because God designed us to be in community. Because there's things that people provide. People provide encouragement for you. People provide wisdom for you. People provide an example. How are you going to know what it could look like if you're not in relationship and look and go, wow, I want that. So many of the things that I am today is because I saw somebody doing what I'm doing now and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. Loving people like that, being that excited about life, having that much peace in a storm, but you don't get that if you're not with people. People set the example. People can also help bring correction. People hold you accountable. People give you wisdom. Things that, man, you didn't know. You're just like, I don't know what to do with this situation. You're in a conversation, and people just say, hey, you know what? I was there 6 years ago, and this is what I did, and it really helped me. And then you do that, and wow, it works out amazing. Aren't you so glad that you weren't alone, struggling, trying to figure out what you were going to do, that you had somebody you could talk to that saved you months, maybe even years of heartache and heartbreak? People, we need people. Here's the third thing that'll help you with your transformation, and that is patience. Patience. Here's what I like. I like to say this. I like to call it aggressive patience. Because sometimes when people hear patience, they think, oh, I'm good. They live in life with passive patience. Oh, well, I guess, I mean, if it's God's will, you know, I'm just going to sit over here and do nothing. But if it's God's will, you know, I mean, wait a minute. No, I'm talking about aggressive. We are patient with results, but we're aggressive with effort. We're patient with results, but we are aggressive with the effort. If you are expecting instant transformation, then you are doomed for future frustration. If you think it's just going to happen because you pray three times or you show up four Sundays in a row and all of a sudden everything's going to just be in alignment, no. You got to have patience in transformation. It's going to take a long time. There are some tension points that we have had in our relationship that we've been talking about. There are some tension points that we had for over 10 years before they got resolved. 10 years. We just kept bringing it up, kept talking through it, kept bringing it back up, and then we came to resolution. It was 10 years. 10 years. 10 years of just processing through it to get to resolution. Well, what most people think, well, if we can't solve it in a week, it's just not going to be solved. If we can't figure it out this year, it's just not going to happen. No. We 10 years later, still having a conversation, having some light bulb moment, right? Having some, oh, man, some things are really, but it's been 10 years. That's patience. Yeah, so good. And sometimes people following Jesus, they think, man, if it don't happen this month, if it don't happen this year, I guess Christianity's not for me. I guess I'm never going to be one of those people that's been sent. I guess I'm not going to be able to be transformed. I guess this is just not going to work for me. No, patience. Patience, but it's aggressive patience. You pray today and you get around people that can help you today, and then you be patient with the results. I promise you they'll come. All right, let me give you three things, and we can get the keys out here so we can wrap this thing up. I'm having way too much fun today. Three things that will hinder your transformation. Three things that will hinder your transformation. Real quick, number one is perspective. Perspective. Listen, if you get stuck in old ways of thinking, if you get stuck in old ways of feeling, the definition of the word perspective is a particular attitude towards something or a point of view. Here's the thing. You can't live with an old point of view and walk into a new life. Man, that old perspective will cost you. If we could turn those keys down just a little bit. That old perspective will cost you. It'll cost you. We cannot hold on to an old way of thinking, because remember what Paul said, the key to us being transformed is what? Our renewing of our mind, of changing the way that we think. So if we hold on to an old way of thinking about ourselves, about God, about our future, about what's possible, about our past, if we hold on to that old perspective, we are hindering the transformation process. But listen, it's not just perspective. Here's the second thing, is it's patterns. It's patterns, because guess what? You have patterns in your life. You have patterns. That's why Paul said in that same verse, he says, do not conform to the pattern, right, that exists within this world. Listen, we have our own patterns that exist within this world. We have our own habits. We have to break the old patterns of behavior. And one of the ways that one of the habits of behavior that we have to break is the inputs. Okay, if you are trying to transform and change some areas of your life, you're going to have to change what is going in. So we have these patterns and these habits. Well, I'm a 24/7 news junkie. You know, I just come in. When I get home from work, I got the news on. I'm Fox. I'm CNN. I'm whatever. I got the ticker down at the bottom. I know they're gonna say the same thing next hour, but I'm gonna hear it again. I just got to be informed. You know, and I'm just saying, and we just keep these inputs, right? Get the same inputs. Spending 3 hours a day on Instagram, Facebook, social media, right? We input. Listen, you got to change patterns. And so I got to say, okay, I'm not going to get, there's something new I want in my life. I cannot just keep on doing this and say, well, Jesus ain't working for me. Right? Because I've got to go, you know what? Man, we'll turn this television off. I'm going to pray for 10 minutes. You know what? I'm going to put my phone down, and I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible. Got to be willing to change some of those patterns. Here's the third thing that will hinder our transformation, and that is pessimism. If you don't believe you can change, guess what? You won't. If you say things won't ever change, they can't. Because you can't have positive transformation with a negative expectation. So if you are holding on to pessimism because it didn't work last year and it didn't work the year before that and it didn't work in the last decade and that didn't work and that didn't work and I'm just hanging on to all the things that didn't work, guess what? It's not going to work in your future either. Don't let pessimism hinder your transformation. Because if you think it won't work or you think it can work, it's not going to. You've got to, this is why we say what makes it possible. Faith makes transformation possible. Faith makes transformation possible. And I can't walk in faith into transformation while thinking and saying things will never change and it's not going to get any better, because it's faith that makes transformation possible. It's faith in God, and it's faith in the God in me. Come on, I want you to stand up today. We can throw the lead acrostic up on the screen as you stand if you want to take a picture of it just to refer back during the week. But what did we learn today? We learned that we are saved to be sent. The reason that you experience salvation, that was not the end goal, that was the starting line. You've been saved to be sent by God into your world to shine brightly. Our evaluation today is, am I transforming to bring transformation? Am I transforming? Am I in the transformation process so that I can bring transformation into the world? And don't wait till you feel like, oh, I'm a finished product. No, you just get into the transformation process and you start bringing transformation. The application, pray this week about living sent. I just want to live sent. I want to live on mission, as we like to say here, is one of our house habits. Just pray and say, God, I want to live that purpose that you said you prepared for me long ago. That's what I want. The same way that you sent your disciples to be fishers of men, that's what I want for my life. God, help me to live sent. Just pray that this week. Just pray that this week. Say, God, I want to live sent. I want to be consumed with living my life, purpose, and mission. Focus on the sending. God will begin to take care of all the sinning. The D is always the same. Just do it again. We do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. I want you to bow your heads with me today as we close in prayer. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for this moment that we have together. God, I pray that we would never get to the place where we think or live like salvation was where it stops. Well, I'm saved. I prayed the prayer. I know God. I was baptized. No, God, let us move into transformation. Let us be transformed so that we can bring transformation into the world. How many of you in this place would say, Philip, that's what I want for my life? I want to live sent. I really do want to step into the good works that God prepared for me long ago. I don't want to just get to heaven and go, wow, I stopped sinning a little bit here. I got a little better. And I say, Philip, I want to bring heaven to earth. I want to walk into rooms and bring hope. I want to shine light. You say, I want to be consumed. I want to be consumed with bringing transformation. So therefore, I want to be committed to transforming myself. I want to be committed to my personal transformation, inviting the Holy Spirit in to produce these fruit, this fruit in me. If that's you today, you say, Philip, that's how I want to live. And regardless of where you are, you know what? You may be sitting here today and say, man, I've never even really invited God into my life. Man, no better time than right now. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, man, I've heard this before, but God, it's just been such a struggle. It's been so depressing. No, but you're saying, no. But today I'm re-engaging. I'm re-engaging in the transformation process so that I can bring transformation to the world. Come on, if I am talking to you and you say, Philip, this is the life that I want to live. This is the life that I want to live. Right there where you are. I'm not going to ask you to step out now or come down front, but right there where you are, I just want you to lift up your hand. It's just a sign to yourself and a sign to God to say, God, this is how I want to live. I want to live sent. I want to live for the purpose of the good works that you created long ago for me to do. I want to shine my light into this world. I want to be transformed so I can bring transformation. Come on, with that hand lifted right now, will you just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are. And you can do what you say you can do. I want to live sent. I want to live on mission. I want to be consumed with bringing transformation to this world. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing in this place. God, thank you today that we are not alone in this process, but the Holy Spirit is alive and active on the inside of us. And when we give, God, when we give your Spirit permission, then transformation follows. Holy Spirit, shape our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions, so that we can produce the fruit that God put us on this earth to produce for your kingdom and for your glory in Jesus' name. Come on, if you believe that, put your hands together. Thank God for it. Let's welcome Pastor Carissa.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.